And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line is the mercenary geologist himself, the globe-trotting Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, you've been racking up the frequent flyer points. You're on the other side of the globe for the 8th annual Mines and Money Hong Kong Convention. I believe it's the largest mining investment conference in Asia, correct?
Well, it certainly is one of the largest, if not the largest, an annual event very much focused on the Asia-Pacific area. Mostly Australian Stock Exchange listed companies, significant junior present, mm-hmm. few North American exhibitors. So very equivalent to perhaps something that we would see in Vancouver or Toronto, mm-hmm. The three or four conferences there a year. Very well run by the folks at Mines and Money. One thing I noticed, one difference would be there's little media presence. So, for instance, if you go to one of the bigger Vancouver conferences or PDAC, there's certainly lots of cameras all over the place and lots of media opportunities. And we don't really see that in Hong Kong.
And what does that tell you about the interest in perhaps mining over there? I guess it's not at the same level as over here. Would that be a safe assumption?
Well, it's probably a very minor part of the total economy, especially in Hong Kong, which is one of the world's largest economies. It's a little hard for me to figure out. Perhaps they're just a little bit behind us. You know, one thing I noticed at the North American conferences over the last year was kind of the explosion of cameras, the plethora of cameras. And we haven't really seen that hit in Asia, or at least not at this conference.
Okay.
And of course, it was considerably smaller than the last time I was there in 2013. That just has to do with the downturn in the mining industry.
Yeah, well, we saw the same thing here in Toronto with the PDAC. This year's event much smaller than previous years, Mickey. What about the big buzz over there, though, for those who were in attendance, those who were making presentations here in Toronto at the PDAC? Of course, it was all about how weak many areas of the market right now with the U.S. dollar strong, commodity prices lower. What was the big buzz over there? What were some of the questions that you faced?
Well, I think it's very similar. I think the main question is, when's it going to end? You know, we know from previous experience that the mining industry and commodities, driven by prices of commodities, go in boom and bust cycles. So that's the question that's on everybody's mind. And, of course, that's really an answerable question. You know, I addressed that. I gave a keynote address on the first morning of the conference. The subject was North American equities, where we reviewed what's gone on in the North American markets since the commodities boom started in 2003, now into a bust cycle. We reviewed some of commodities I'm bullish on, and then related that to investment in mining companies, exploration mining companies, I should say. Mm-hmm. I was pretty busy there. I had five public appearances. I chaired a session on specialty metals. I gave a short talk there about specialty metals versus what I consider the critical metals, which are the major metals necessary for the world's economy to function in a well-behaved manner.
Mm-hmm.
I was a moderator of a uranium panel, and we generated a bit of a buzz there by people who are pros in the business and certainly think that uranium supply crunch is coming. I hosted an investment roundtable, and then on the final day, I was a part of a junior exploration and mining panel. So certainly, I got to talk a lot, and people probably got their fill of me.
Okay. Five presentations in what? You were there for, what, 3 or 4 days, so you were busy.
I was busy. It was, yeah, 3 days of the conference, and then with travel each way, basically a day each way.
Mm-hmm. Now, whenever we, you know, there's conversation in the marketplace, Mike, Mickey, in the media about commodity prices. The dollar's a big topic of conversation, but also Chinese demand and the shape of China's economy. How prevalent was that subject in a lot of the discussions that you heard and you took part in?
Well, certainly quite prevalent, you know. And I was preparing for our interview today. I just crunched a few numbers. I kind of had this in the back of my head, but let's take the price of copper right now at $2.76 a pound, and you apply the dollar discount to that with the dollar index up 18% over the last, 8 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That gives an equivalent copper price of a year ago of $3.25, which is higher than it actually was, so not much higher. If memory serves, about a year ago, perhaps a little bit more than a year ago, we had a correction in copper, but before then it had established a pretty strong base between 320 and 330. So that price is equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a similar number crunch on gold, with gold closing Friday basically at $1,200, times 18% discount to the U.S. dollar, that gives a gold price of $1,415 dollars in constant dollars, if you will. So what we've seen is the dollar has caused a decline in the prices of commodities, which are traded in dollars worldwide, but I dare say in most other currencies in the world, these commodities, at worst, have maintained, and in some commodities, for instance, gold, have probably gained in real terms over that period of time. We have uranium at $28, and about 9 months ago, it's now at over $39. That's nearly a 40% rise. Mm-hmm. I think the consensus amongst uranium experts is there is a severe uranium supply crunch coming in the next perhaps 2 to 3 years, with 71 reactors scheduled to come online, certainly within the next 5 years. So all in all, that looks positive. China is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. is recovering. Housing starts are up over a million starts a year in the U.S., the first time that's happened since the global economic crisis of, it started to really crater in 2007. So 6 months in a row, we've got more than a million housing starts.
Yeah. Well, overall, you are fairly positive that we're going to come out of this in pretty good shape, and that we're closer to the finish line, certainly, than we are to the starting line.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. We're 4 years into this bear market now, going on to our fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really been lately about the U.S. dollar, still the world's reserve currency at a 10-year high. And, you know, bear markets don't go on forever, and the cure for low prices is low prices, and the world still needs metals.
Mm-hmm. What about the sophistication of investors in Hong Kong, that part of the world, in relation to mining companies and the commodity space? They're not as sophisticated as here in Canada or Australia. There's some catching up to do there, isn't there?
Oh, I think so. There's quite a lack of knowledge about how the mining industry works, and so it's incumbent on people like me and others in the industry with a vested interest try to educate that part of the market. You know, there's a lot of private equity available there. There's lots of family money, lots of money that wants to invest outside of China, and is probably more focused on the Asia Pacific, Australia, and Africa than it is North America, but I think there's opportunity there. That said, this private equity, there's been quite a buzz about it on both sides of the Pacific here over the last year or so, and what I've found is it's very conservative. It wants all the risk removed, and it essentially, I think, is replacing what banks did for the mining industry in the past, and that's very risk adverse money. They want things that are in the feasibility post-feasibility study phase. They want them in the financing and development phases where most of the risk is taken out of the market. And that's well and good. But what we really need in this business is venture capital. And certainly I do not think that, the private equity that I talk to, and this is the second time I've spoken at Minds of Money, first time in 2013, but I was even more impressed with this idea now. This is absolutely not venture capital. It's not entrepreneurship. It's conservative money, if you will, and that's what we're lacking right now, and that's the segment that we need to entice to return to the market, and that's venture capital.
Are you surprised at all how conservative of a viewpoint they have there? I don't know. I thought, you know, some of the high-rolling, deep-pocketed families would have a fair amount of money sitting on the sides that they want to take a risk on and gamble with, basically. I mean, it's a hot spot for gambling.
Well, exactly, and so that's a dichotomy that I am unable to resolve right now. Maybe I'm just not talking to the right people, but that, I think, was the general consensus. I talked to a really smart guy about this. His name is Rod White, and he's one of the founders of Aspermont, which is one of the parent organizations, arguably one of the largest investment convention conference sort of entities on the planet, and that was his impression, certainly, that this is not venture capital at all. So somewhere in that great pile of money that exists over there that is somewhat itchy to get out of China, if you will, and out of Hong Kong, there must be some venture capital someplace, but at this stage, it's not real evident to me where that is.
Yeah. And I've read, Mickey, that the Hong Kong Exchange does not allow junior or exploration companies to list on the exchange. So that's a roadblock right there, isn't it, in terms of getting the investing community there in tune to what the exploration game is all about.
Yeah, that's your point's very well taken there, Rob. The Hong Kong Exchange is very adverse to venture capital. Probably the Singapore Exchange is a better venue for the more speculative parts of our market. And the reason for that, again, is, Hong Kong is very regulated. They follow the Hong Kong Exchange. They follow the rules to the T, and there's some fairly strict rules there.
Well, that's not bad either.
Probably the reason, like a company like Sinoforce ends up in the in the U.S. in North America versus Hong Kong. Right?
Well, that we could talk on ad nauseum on that story for sure.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. And I think that whole debacle has put a clamp on the idea that that some of this money is, or some of these companies are something that North Americans want to participate in.
Okay. Final question, did you get a suit? It's a famous place for getting suits
well,
made.
Actually, I did not make it to Kowloon. I was busy. I didn't make it over to Kowloon to get another suit. But the one thing is my tailor, Andy Punjabi at Stitch Up Tailors, makes twice a year venture into North America where he goes from hotel to hotel and city to city all over North America. And so I can meet up with him sometime and get my suit here, made in Hong Kong, shipped over via courier in about a couple of weeks.
Okay, well, great stuff. Nice way to wrap this one up, Mickey. We're going to do it all over again in a couple of weeks. Have you had a chance to get caught up in your sleep and think about what we're going to talk about next time?
Well, yeah, I have, and I think what we'll do is we're going to go up back to the bubble story we were talking about, and we'll talk about the newest bubble, and it's not exactly that new, but we're a year into the medical marijuana bubble, and it's time to assess what happened and where that thing might go in the future.
Okay, great stuff, Mickey. Thanks very much, and we'll reconnect in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it, Rob. Thank you very much.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.